share with you my story? Would you share your dollar?
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. I'm John Williams, and our Wednesday guest is Terry Savage, financial columnist. Visit terrysavage.com. You can ask her a question there. You can get great information there, and she joins us on Wednesdays. If you want to be in the queue, now's the time to call 312-981-7200. Call 312-981-7200. Terry's ready to answer your questions. Or is she? Hey, Terry, extra $300 in weekly jobless benefits. The Tribune is saying Illinois has received approval.
Yeah, I know, but please let's not promo that as great news, because what it is just prelude to another IDES, Unemployment Department, disaster. Yes, Illinois applied and got approved, and remember the deal is that the president promised $300 if the states would chip in $100, because he's taking the money not from general congressional appropriations, they haven't done that, but from the FEMA disaster fund. By the way, parenthetically, running it down so that the people in California with their wildfire disaster and the hurricane disaster fund is reduced substantially, but leave that aside. The deal calls, that's the way the FEMA fund works, $3 from the government, $1 from the state. So, number one, the state's going to have to come up with the money, but most importantly, the hurdle is the state is going to have to retool, reprogram, reorganize, re-something its systems to send that money out to people, and you know how good the IDES is at its computer systems. And let me make two more quick points. That money is good for only 3 weeks of benefits. 3 weeks. You heard me. Not 3 months, 3 weeks. Presidential discretion is that it could go a little bit further, but that's the guarantee. And number two, if you were without a bonus of $600 or the new one, if you were earning less than $100 a week in unemployment benefits, in other words, the least of the beneficiaries of this, if you were getting less than $100 a week in traditional unemployment, you don't qualify for the extra $400 bump. Don't ask me.
Wait a minute. Those would be the people that should most qualify.
Yes, right, exactly. But bottom line, and not only is it illogical, impractical, unlikely to make a dent and get out there, and it's going to post, cause 1,000 posts at terrysavage.com. Ask Terry, what do I do? How do I get it? The answer is, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how you get it. You can't begin to get it until they set up their system.
Right.
And they haven't even finished setting up their systems for people who still write me saying, I turned in my unemployment forms in April and May. And they can't return the calls, and they're much vaunted, we'll call you back right away system is shot to, you know what. And I'm being good. But don't get me started on IDE.
Well, Terry, maybe the reason that people less than $100 wouldn't qualify for the supplement is because they aren't traditionally unemployed. They aren't traditionally employed. They are so,
low-income people. These are the people, the lowest of the low, that got a pittance of unemployment.
But
maybe
isn't
82.
Unemployment... But
the lowest was 51, as I recall. So maybe they were getting $83 a week. But for a long time, they were getting $683 a week.
Because of the supplement. My point is, maybe, and isn't unemployment relative to the amount of money that you earn, your unemployment benefit is...
Yes, exactly. That's how they calculate it, based on your reported income over the last 12
perhaps months. Perhaps they were figuring that you were working so few hours or at such a low pay...
But you don't deserve to eat?
I'm just trying to figure out the sense of it. I'm not advocating for that, Terry.
Figure it out. Don't try. I mean, a lot doesn't make sense these days, and this one surely is one of those things.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that was you continue to follow, like several of our guests do, the markets that are doing well, even if the economy is not. And you drilled down in one of your articles a little bit into one of those numbers, right?
Yeah, I just posted a column, and it ran in the Tribune on Monday, about the stock market. You know, on the face of it, it looks astounding that the market could be at new highs. Just astounding, while the economy is still in such sad shape for so many people. And I looked at a wonderful paper written by Jack Ablin of Crescent. They manage, I think their minimum managed account is like $500,000 or something like that. But I love Jack's writing, and there's a link to this article. But one of the very interesting points he made was that when you look at the stock market, even the S&P 500, let's leave the Dow out of this, I'm going to give you these things. More than five stocks in the S&P 500, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, account for more than one quarter of the rally since March. That's no surprise. We know that the tech stocks have been leading. Then they're all at new highs. Their combined market cap, the price of their stocks times the number of shares outstanding, is $7.3 trillion. That represents 38% of the U.S. economy, $7.3 trillion. But now listen to this. Collectively, this is Jack Ablin's quote, these companies employ fewer than 1% of the U.S. workforce. Let me just see what we're talking about. We're talking about what's making the market move, primarily tech stocks, and those tech stocks have sent the S&P 500 to new highs, but altogether they employ less than 1% of the U.S. workforce. And he notes that 20% of the S&P 500 companies are more than 50% below their all-time highs. 62% of stocks in the S&P 500 are still below their February 19th highs earlier this year. So when we say, hey, what's going on in the stock market? It's tech stocks primarily. There have been a lot of other interesting ones that relate to vaccines and so forth. But that headline index, the S&P 500, is primarily boosted by tech stocks. And those tech stocks have very little relationship to employment. And there is something to think about while you're driving home.
Yeah, no kidding. Interesting stats. It's 12:15. Okay, what's your question? 312-981-7200. Terry Savage is ready to answer. Financial columnist Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. You read her in the Tribune. You hear her here Wednesdays. And lots of calls for you, Terry. You ready to roll?
Okay, ready to go.
Okay, we'll start with Rob. You're on WGN. Thanks for calling, Rob. What's your question?
I just want to say I love all your opinions and all your honest advice. And I was wondering what your opinion of the fair tax coming up on the ballot is and the effects of it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, I really avoid political things, but I happen to have strong opinions about taxes in general. So, Rob, I'm going to give you and everybody else a quiz right now. What politician said, and I quote literally because it's engraved in my mind, paradoxically, the way to increase tax revenues is to cut tax rates. Bum, 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 bum. Does anybody know who said that?
Ronald Reagan.
Sounds good. Who else? Any other guesses? Rob, you got a guess?
I was going to say Reagan myself.
Alexander
as well.
Hamilton.
Yeah, Art Laffer. Okay, I'm going to tell you who said that.
All right.
John F. Kennedy said that, and he, by the way, for those who are younger, was a Democrat. Kennedy said that, and he said a rising tide lifts all ships, and he instituted the largest cut in the personal income tax rate from 91% down to 70%, and corporate tax rates from 52 to 48%, and he cut tariffs, the Kennedy round of tariff cuts. I am a student of history, especially about things economic. Kennedy was a bigger tax cutter and the first tax cutter long before Ronald Reagan, and he was a Democrat. Because he recognized that people don't work to pay taxes, they work to keep an after-tax return. So now let me address the question of this, quote, fair tax. In an attempt to be fair, it has always happened. Since the Beatles left England when they raised their tax rate to something like 98% top tax bracket, yeah. When Bjorn Borg left Sweden when they did this, and when American companies left by droves when the tax rates were higher, you will drive the most productive, most tax-paying people out of the state of Illinois and will leave the state losing tax revenues. Tell me why. I know 1,000 people raise their hackles. No, people should pay their fair share of taxes. Tell me why Tennessee and Florida, even aside from COVID, and Texas are booming and they have no state income tax.
Now, their schools aren't as good.
Oh, I don't think that's absolutely not true. I mean, I think what we're learning now about our schools is that we appreciate our teachers incredibly. I don't think teachers have ever gotten or deserved so much respect. But I don't think you can say that. I see the.
Well, let me offer one other devil's advocate observation about that, because I don't know about this, Terry, but I'll tell you what I also hear, and that is, sure, 98 was too much and 56 was too much, but we are comfortable with a graduated income tax at the federal level, so maybe it should be graduated, but just at what level? What is a fair level?
You're asking the art of plucking the goose. How many feathers can you pluck before you kill the golden goose?
Well, that's what they got to do.
Oh, but so here's the point I'm making. If you're an American, unless you choose to go live in Canada, which would be a good place, except they don't have Florida. you know, it's cold. Where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
Okay, but the point is, people do have a choice to go in the United States. You've seen the statistics about people in the last few years. I'm not talking about inner city violence. I'm just talking about taxes now, folks. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about economic statistics already. Have had the highest out-migrations from the places where state and local taxes are the highest and they're no longer deductible. And you see people, the people who generally pay that highest tax bracket, have got the wherewithal to decide where they're going to live. And now all those people know they don't have to live right downtown and go to their office. They can Zoom.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot more flexibility. I think it would be a really sad mistake. I don't think the outcome will be what everybody thinks it will be, that the state collects more taxes and we can pay off our debts and fulfill our pensions. I think it will be the last nail in the coffin of Illinois' economic viability to raise the state income tax. But that's my opinion.
Here's a personal question from Terry, or from a listener, 708. Hi, Terry. I have $5,000. What's my best investment? That's all you know, Terry.
That's got $5,000.
What's the best investment?
The best investment you can make is pay off any credit card bills. They're charging you 18, 19, 22%. So if you have any credit card debt, that's the first thing to do with your $5,000. Second of all, take half of it and stick it away, even though you're not earning anything, in a money market fund. And third of all, open an IRA or contribute it. Make sure you have your 401k invested in up to the match, because you can double your money if your employer lets you put money in and matches your contribution. Well, those are the three easiest things to say without knowing a thing about you. And if you're really burning a hole in your pocket, go buy a gold coin.
You're also not against index funds tied to the NASDAQ, even though it's had this historic rise and somebody might think it's too late. You're not against that, are you?
You know, over the long run, I'm in a hard spot with the stock market now, because the stock market always climbs a wall of worry. And all the, quote, smart money, and I'll just marginally include myself in that category, the people with historic perspective go, oh, my goodness, the valuations are so strange. The tech is what's leading it. There are a million arguments for why the economy isn't good and why could the stock market be so high. All these great arguments are nothing in the face of the force of money that's being flooded into the market, the aggressiveness of young traders, that Robin Hood effect, who think, gosh, this is better than Fortnite. If I win here, I make real money. So it's all pushing the market higher. And I want to point out that someday we're going to have to pay for all this money we've printed. The Fed's not worried about inflation, so I'm not bringing it up. But down the road, you should remember, over the long run, the stock market for every 20-year period has beat inflation and had a positive return. So there are a lot of good reasons to be broadly diversified invested, especially if you're 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You've got a long time ahead of you. America will come out of this.
Yes,
keep investing. I could have said an index fund. That was what I was going to mention first, but you wanted me to do something wild, so I gave her my best choices for
815 said, can Terry Savage run for president? And Dan on line two. Dan, I got less than a minute, so you ask a short question. Terry, give me a short answer. Dan,
okay.
What do you need?
Yeah, I'm in the process of selling my house, which is completely paid for, and I'm buying a new house, which won't be completed for 6 months. Do you think it would be too risky to take the funds or proceeds from my sale and put it in a stock market fund?
Yeah, I think it would be way too risky. I think you should put that money in the bank, earning nothing, and have it there so you don't have a mortgage hanging over your head unless you want to at 3.5%. Do not speculate with that. One day there will be some shocking downside to the stock market. The Robin Hood traders are going to learn that, just like the original Robin Hood, he died in a pandemic. they're going to have a real loss in the market crash. Don't get caught in that if you've only got 6 month time horizon.
That's a short question. That's a short answer. More questions and answers for Terry Savage after the news. Wintrust Business Lunch, WGN Radio. Terry Savage, the financial columnist, joins us Wednesdays at this time. Terry, a couple of folks have texted in and they said, hey, previously you said something about taking profits off the table in the market. John, when the market was at this point before, Terry suggested taking some profits. Does she think it is wise to take something off the table now?
Yeah, that's a really good point, and thank you for giving me just a minute to talk about that. I never try and call the market, but last January, December and January, you can look up the columns I wrote there at terrysavage.com. I was really concerned. The economy was booming. We were in a euphoria. The stock market was over 28,000, and I realized that there are a lot of people there getting close to retirement who would panic in a market decline. And so I never called the timing of it. I was early, actually I was early by 4 or 5 months. Go back to my columns last year saying, you know what, you've had an incredible boom, you're getting close to retirement. Yeah. If you're in that position and you don't have a long time of working and contributing and taking advantage of, quote, bargains, which is what I said then this is the time to take some money off, set it aside, so you won't panic when the market collapses, whenever that will be. It looked to me like it was soon. I had no idea COVID was coming, of course, to be the catalyst. And I still feel that way for people who are right approaching retirement, who are already in retirement. I never said sell everything. I never, ever said sell everything. And I knew that a lot of people would panic and do that when things got crazy. But I said you'll be able to sleep at night. In fact, I multiple times said sell down to the sleeping point. And that's what real self-discipline requires. I know it because I've been through a lot of market panics myself in all these years, and I know that I wasn't going to do anything. I wanted to be prepared so I could be cool for TV and radio. So that's the position I put myself in. Do I look now and say, gee, I wish I would have bought in April? No, actually I don't. It's so unlike me to have thought of timing the market. In April, I would have bet you, and in fact, I think it's still up on my website, an argument between the bulls and the bears. The bull was Dr. Bob Frelick, who insisted in April, I think 21st, when the market was down near its lows, just bounced a little, that the Dow was going to end the year above 30,000 and that his January economic forecast prediction of 33,000 was still in the cards. I talked to Dr. Bob yesterday, and I said, dibs on getting you on radio the day the Dow hits 30,000, which is only really now 1,000 points away.
Yeah.
So, but I don't make... My job isn't to call the trends. My job is to let you, over the long run, diversify. I still think you need chicken money on the side.
So if you take some money out of the market, you're in some sort of mutual fund, put it in cash or put it in...
Well, what, inside your 401k, you look for the safest thing. It could be a stable value fund. My gosh, even if I had promised you you'd stick it out, you'd be even. I mean, in April, wouldn't you have said, oh, please, God, let me... The minute I'm even, I'm going to sell some. So I'm not trying to tell you when or how much to sell, but just enough so you don't panic. Even if you're retired, you're 65, your life expectancy is at least 20 years. You have to have some exposure to the stock market.
Terry, talk to us about payroll taxes and what do you think about that right now?
Okay, I actually have some news. I'm on a mailing list. I don't know if they know I would talk about this publicly, but here it is. It's my friend Carolyn, who's with the Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C., and sent out a bulletin saying, you know, although the IRS this week announced that companies, here are the rules, and here's how you do it, could defer the payroll tax of the 6.2% that the employee pays and the other half that they pay, that's been deferred through the end of the year but has to be repaid next May. I'm going to give you a quote from her letter. The overwhelming majority of responses of all the Chamber of Commerce members indicated they will not be implementing this payroll deferral and will continue withholding as normal. No one, as of the sending of this email this to all their members, has indicated they would be implementing this deferral. A lot of them had practical reasons. Too tough with your payroll system. Got to be repaid next year or there'll be penalties. But how about this? The real reason you don't want to defer payroll taxes, that's what funds Social Security. And deferring those, not collecting those taxes, either through the end of the year, and if they get it all back when people pay it back next year, maybe. But the possibility that they would just stop, as the president suggested, collecting the payroll tax. Yeah. The Social Security Disability Fund will run out of money in the next few months. And Social Security, the check I get, yep, I'm getting it, that check will run out within 2 years. I mean, we all know it's into the 2032 or 33, the actuarial report, that they can't pay the full benefits unless Congress appropriates more money. But to bring that crisis upon us in a year or two, insane.
Okay, time for one more question, maybe. Terry Savage is on the phone. And, Dave, you had a question about an investment opportunity. What's that?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. So I have the opportunity to invest in either a bond fund or bond ETF as options. I'm just not sure which one's better suited for me in this economy.
Okay, well, the bond is a promise. There are a lot of different kinds of bond funds. There's high-quality bond funds, companies that for sure will keep paying their interest on the bonds, and there are some riskier ones that have higher yields because of uncertainty on whether they'll be able to pay. As long as interest rates stay low, and the Fed has promised they will stay low, and the Fed has promised actually if companies get in trouble, they'll actually buy their bonds, you might look for a small portion of your money to go in bond funds, knowing that if inflation ever does get away, you don't want to own bonds because interest rates go up and bond prices go down. And, you know, it depends. This is money that you're investing on your own. It's not inside an IRA.
No, I mean, I've already gone down the IRA options, and those are maxed out, so I'm looking for alternatives.
Okay. Well, I know you're looking for alternatives that are higher yielding, but I wouldn't get too enamored of bond funds for the long run. You're going to be fast on your toes to get out of them. And frankly, given the cost, you pay a commission to get into an ETF. It doesn't always reflect the underlying price of the bonds. It can be more volatile. But if you're looking for bond funds, concentrate more on the quality of the bonds. It doesn't matter whether it's a mutual fund, a low-cost mutual fund like a Vanguard or Fidelity Bond Index Fund versus an ETF. But just know what you're buying in the terms of the bonds in there.
Good luck, Dave. I hope that helps. Hey, John Williams, please ask Terry. I'm looking for a zero interest for 18 months balance transfer credit card. How do I find a good credit card?
You go to creditcards.com and click on balance transfer cards. And there are, I believe, still a couple of them out there. But I'll tell you this, when 18 months is up, that interest rate is going to soar. So you better use that 18 months. Remember the formula. If you will double the current minimum monthly payment, write that number on your computer and pay that amount every month, not the new minimum. Double the minimum monthly payment, pay that amount every month, no matter what your balance, you will pay off the entire balance in less than 3 years. So use that point where you have zero interest to really make a dent in the outstanding balance.
John, here's something different. I received an inheritance, $15,000. All my basics are well covered, including retirement. Any suggestions where to invest $15,000 that just fell in her lap?
A lot depends on how much of that you're willing to lose.
Sounds okay? Like all of it.
You don't want to lose any of it, probably. It depends on your stage in life. If you're don't have an IRA and you're working, I would suggest opening a Roth IRA and putting the allowed amount in there, depending on your age, and putting it in the S&P 500 index fund, knowing that you're going to take the rest of it and put it in next year. Because if you don't have a future investment fund, that's something you can hold on to for at least 20 years, then that's the first place it should go. But, yeah, pay down your credit card debt. That's high ranking. I'd go out to lunch with you. You can buy.
I appreciate your time, as always, and expertise. I know our listeners do, too. It's at terrysavage.com to ask questions, get more information. And we will talk to you next Wednesday, Terry.
Absolutely. I apologize for being a bit behind. It took a few days off, but I will spend the next 5 days answering your posts.
I think if you look up lazy in a dictionary, you will not see Terry's picture. So we're good, Terry. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
TerrySavage.com, 1244. Steve Bertrand with some business notes.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Michael Jordan is known to like a bet or two, and now DraftKings has announced that it has added Jordan as a special advisor to its board in exchange for an equity stake in the company. Jordan currently is the chairman and majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA. Oak Street Health is teaming up with Walmart as Walmart works to expand its healthcare footprint. Oak Street will open clinics at 3 Walmart stores in Texas. Oak Street's health model focuses generally on patients 65 and older. and private payroll growth came in well below expectations for August. That's according to a report from ADP. Companies added 428,000 jobs during the month, well below the 1.17 million that had been estimated. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Over to you, Orion Samuelson. What do you see, sir?
Well, we see a mixture in the grain market. The September wheat contract is down 9.25 cents a bushel. The December corn contract is up 0.5 cent, and the September soybean contract up 3 cents a bushel. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, October lean hog contract up 87 cents a hundredweight. The October live cattle contract, on the other hand, down $0.5, and the October feeder cattle contract is down 95 cents a hundredweight. Two surveys to report on today. First of all, Farm Progress magazine, Farm Futures, conducted a survey to find out who among farmers will be voting for President Trump. The nationwide poll, conducted in late July via email, getting 1,044 responses, and here they are. 75% of those farmers responding said they would vote for President Trump. That's a figure significantly higher from the 60% who said yes to the same question in 2018 and 66% who said yes to an identically worded question in 2019. And in the survey conducted last year, 75% of farmers said they would vote for President Trump if the election were being held then. And the other survey, annually, Allendale Company, based in McHenry, Illinois, that's a commodity brokerage and analysis firm, forecast the 2020 corn yield at 178.2 bushels per acre. Survey forecasts the 2020 U.S. soybean yield at 51.9 bushels per acre. Allendale projected 2020 corn production, 14.9 billion bushels, and soybean production at 4.3 billion bushels. That yield survey, conducted from August 17 to 28, based on producer-calculated yields in 27 states, covering 87% of corn production and 85% of soybean production. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
There is in Long Grove a brew house, a brewing company called Buffalo Creek Brewing. In just about every neighborhood in Chicago, I guess there seems to be one these days. It's Mike Marr's business. Hey, Mike, talk to me a little bit about your business. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good. Buffalo Creek Brewing. Long Grove, right? Isn't that where you guys are?
Yep, we're in historic downtown Long Grove.
What's your specialty? What do people know you guys for?
We specialize in German and Belgian beers, which it's the beers that people have been drinking for hundreds of years.
So the IPAs and the Johnny-come-lately flavored beers, you're not that, huh?
Not really. I mean, we occasionally throw an IPA out there just to keep all the hopheads happy, but we really focus on more of the traditional German styles.
So what do I know you? What are the labels that are most popular?
The Redheaded Stepchild one has been our summer brew that we released 3 years ago. This year was the first year because of COVID. We put it in cans. And it's got a bright red label with looks like a redheaded stepchild in front of our historic downtown bridge.
Now, do I see that on the shelves like a Jewel or Benny's or stuff?
You'll see it. Jewel has it.
Because I know I've seen this can before, and I'm trying to remember where. Redheaded stepchild.
Yeah. There's quite a few liquor stores that it's in as well. So we've been pretty busy distributing. We distribute now in 5 counties.
You have a new label coming out, is that right?
We do. We actually are changing the labels on all of our cans so that they're easier to read, easier to identify that it's Buffalo Creek, and, just a much cleaner look for what we're doing.
And talk to me about the Black Lives Matter movement and how you've sort of gotten yourself involved in that.
Well, my wife and I were talking about it one morning, and instead of just saying that we support it, we decided to do something that was a little bit more involved and more substantial. And so we've actually partnered with Youth Build up in Lake County, there up in Waukegan, and it's an organization that they take wayward teens and kids in their early 20s, and they put them back on the right path. And so we've created a German alt beer called True North, or sorry, it's called North Star, and that a dollar of every pint that we sell goes to the organization. And we're going to follow it up this year with a Christmas beer called True North. North Star and True North.
Yeah, I was just going to say they're related, so I'll forgive you if you confuse them for a moment here.
Yep, they are related, but we figured we could double down with the Christmas beer with True North, have it kind of Christmas-themed, and also have it relate to the organization.
Wow. Okay, so I'm in. A, I want to try it, and B, how do I get it?
Come on down to historic downtown Long Grove. Come out back. We have a beer garden, and we comfortably have seating right now, or socially distanced seating, for 162 people. And people do bring blankets and their own picnic chairs and stuff like that on the weekends, and we can really get people spread out and keep it all
safe. This is Buffalo Creek Brewing in Long Grove. So can I buy a growler, though, and take it home? You don't have that in cans yet, huh?
Yeah, we don't can all of our beers. We typically do five beers plus a seasonal. And so our five are the Marvelous, which is a Kolsch, Farmer's Illegitimate Daughter, which is a Saison, Mammoth, American Pale Ale, 360 Pils, which is a Czech-style Pilsner, and Mutter's Holtz, which is the original name of Long Grove, and that's our Hefeweizen.
All right. Well, I'm really interested in trying this. I regret that we're doing this conversation, and I don't have samples of these to relate to the audience. I don't know how we let that happen here, Mike.
You know, I think we moved a little too fast, because normally we try to get the beer in the hands of everyone we talk to.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting it in the hands of the person after the fact either, if you know what I mean.
We can work on that.
No, I need to work on getting over there and making a purchase. The beer that I've tried from you, I haven't tried them all, but I've tried Redheaded. Is terrific, and if this is your cause, I'm in again. So let's support the cause and Buffalo Creek Brewing in historic Long Grove. Mike Marr, owner, brewmaster. Good luck, Mike, and let's talk again maybe closer to Christmas time, too.
Absolutely. Thank you, John, and I'll make sure we get some in cans to get it out, too.
No, don't you worry about that.
John, can you get there without driving through the bridge? Because John has a truck. I'm worried about the bridge.
Yeah, no kidding. Twice they fixed it and folks slammed into it.